Proverbs chapter number 18, and I'm going to talk about our next subject, things we don't like to talk about, all right? Things we don't like to talk about, our topics for Thursday night messages this year, and we've covered a lot of those, and tonight is another one. I want to speak on the topic tonight of this. I don't have any friends. Now, I feel like I do, but I'm just saying. All right, I don't have any friends. And I say that people don't like to talk about it because the reality is this. If they did talk about it, they'd find out they do have friends. I mean, you ever heard anybody say that? You can nod yes because everyone's heard people say that, right? You know, we've heard people say that, and we're just like, well, I'm no friend, right? I enjoy that person. And even if... let's just pretend for a moment that you don't know another human being that cares for you, all right? God does. And I promise you that, all right? And we'll end the message with that thought too. But there are so many people who struggle because they simply, in their mind, the devil's convinced them they don't have friends. So rather than talk about it, they keep it inside. And the thoughts get louder. The thoughts become prevalent. And they believe them. You say, well, tonight is a message for teenagers. Hardly. I have experienced that this is more of an adult issue than a teen issue. The kids just feed off of us. That's the truth. So if the thought has crossed your head or is crossing your head, let's talk about it tonight. What does it mean when people think I don't have any friends? Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 24. Very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's talk about friends tonight. I say this because I know people that have quit church because they don't have friends. I know people that have quit getting out because they don't have friends. The devil will make them quite miserable people. I know pastors. I know a lot of pastors' wives that have quit because they feel like they don't have any friends. This is a real issue. It's an issue with young people, but it's an issue with adults. And if the devil can convince an adult of this, pretty soon they pull back from everything and they become most miserable people. So let's look at friends tonight. Number one, I want you to consider the great lie about friends. The great lie about friends. And I, again, base everything off the Scripture here. It says, a man that hath friends. A man that hath friends. What's the lie? Well, the lie is this. Nowhere in the Bible is there a commandment that you have to have a best friend. Nowhere in the Bible is there a commandment, thou shalt have friends. Our world's philosophy, and the world has sold us a lie to make young people and adults feel like they're inferior or something's wrong with them because I don't have friends. A lot of it is thinking and the way we think and foresee things and semantics. I understand that. But the devil can convince you that you need a friend to feel accepted, a friend to be, you know, everything I'm supposed to be. I have to have a friend. It just isn't in the Bible. Well, I don't have, you know how many, you know, I've been working with teenagers for a long time, still do with the school. You know how many times I've heard, I don't have any friends. Everyone has a best friend. What the BFF, right? Best friends forever. Everyone has a best friend but me. Adults, teenagers, especially girls. It's more of a girl issue, right? It's just the facts, right? Trust me, men have plenty of issues, right? But you know, it seems to be more of an issue. Well, I just don't have that friend. I don't have a close friend. Show me in the Bible where thou shalt have a close friend. And parents, you need to teach your children this. You say, well, no one's my best friend. Who cares? Again, we are predestined to become like Christ. Amen? It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When we get to heaven, everything is perfect. It's the way it should be. Amen? You think you're going to have best friends in heaven? No, exactly, right, Brother Sutherland? We're all best friends in heaven. Amen? We all love each other in heaven. We all get along in heaven. We all, and that should be what is taught and instructed and the ultimate goal in all of our lives for the peers and the people around us. But we get trapped in this worldly philosophy that I have to have a best friend, and we go, and if we don't have a circle of friends or a best friend, and it's so bad to a point that if people feel like they're not finding it here, they find it in this fantasy world that's out there. They get online and they start talking to everybody and anyone, and there's a lot of creepy people out there that give everybody the time of day. There's a lot of accepting people through a keyboard. You better be careful on those things. We live in this world and we have to be careful because we feel like this, you know, undercurrent that I have to have a best friend, but there's not one command in the Bible. There's over 102 times friend or friends is mentioned, but not one of them is a command. Matter of fact, the great majority is warnings about bad friends. I mean, that's the great majority of the word friend. But it's also found in a positive light. But don't, first of all, don't buy the lie that I have to have a bunch of best friends, or if I don't have best friends, then obviously I don't fit in. I'm not accepted. I'm not this or that, all right? That is all a bunch of lies from a world's philosophy, which eventually these children, everybody's bullied now because they don't have seven best friends. And all these things are going on. No, listen, we love our neighbors as ourselves. We love each other. And, you know, say, well, I really want my kid to have a best friend. That's the issue. You want them to have something that God didn't say they had to have. And it will drive you crazy as a parent. But normally the kids are just feeding off us, because we are always at home saying, I wish I had someone. But anyways, the lie about friends. Number two, the legitimacy of friends. Now, the lie is this: you don't have to have a best friend. But the legitimacy is, again, in our passage, a man that hath friends. So having a friend is fine. It's great. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for those that God has put into my life. It's okay to have friends. In Proverbs, turn back in chapter 17, and in verse number 17, just a page back, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Hey, I'm thankful for friends in my life. I'm thankful for people like that God has allowed into my life. Everyone that you come in contact with has a relationship with you. Everyone. Now, if you're writing, I encourage you to draw a straight line, all right, and start over on the left, and I'll tell you all the different types of relationships we have, all right? And everyone you know falls under one of these categories, all right? Everybody with me? All right, no one is. Great. All right. So here we go, all right? On the far left of that line, enemy. The Bible, the Lord instruct us to love our enemies, right? But apparently you can have enemies. And we will have enemies. Not that we should be hateful to them, we're supposed to love them, but people who just don't like you. They fight against you. There's enemies. Now we're going to work our way, all right? And I'll tell you when we're at the halfway point. But we have enemies, and then we have opponents. You know, people that, I wouldn't say they're our enemies, but we're, you know, some strife there. You know, our school. We have schools that are our friends. There's some schools that are opponents. Like you tell them, we're going to play this school tonight. When I was growing up, I went to Temple Christian School in Dayton. Our opponent was Milford Christian Academy. I didn't even know. But I just knew this. They always killed us and whipped us at everything. And every time we went, we got to beat those dogs tonight. All right? It's just what we did. And they were our opponents. Now, we have some people in our life that are opponents. Not that there are enemies, but you know if you guys are around, you both are going to try to beat. There's a competition kind of going on. There's opponents. Then, all right, next one over, all right, they're strangers. You don't really know them. Maybe you just met them. They're the person that works in the cubicle down the hallway. Whatever the case is, they're strangers. Then there's people that are our acquaintance. Acquaintance. You know them. Not that you ever talk much at all. Hi there. You have no issue with them at all. Someone mentions your name, you know who they are. They know who you are, but that's the extent of it. They're an acquaintance. And then we get to about the halfway point here, and we have resources. People can become a resource to us. Your favorite mechanic is a resource. Not like you're hanging out every night. If you have a bad day, you don't call your mechanic and be like, hey, can I tell you what happened, all right? But they're a resource to you. There's someone that God has in your life that, you know, when you need that information, their ability, their talent, whatever it is, they are a resource to you. Then we take the next step, all right, and you have a friend. The next step beyond a resource, they're a friend. And I'll explain in a little bit more detail what that is. We'll take another step more towards the right, and you have a good friend. A good friend. Someone you speak to all the time. If they needed something, you'd be there, vice versa. You just enjoy each other's company. They're a good friend. You might even have the next step over, which is a best friend. And that's fine. Personalities, every one of us in this auditorium have different personalities. Some personalities are going to get along better than other personalities. And that's fine. It doesn't mean they're your enemies. You can be friends with everybody. But the fact is, some people you're just going to get along with better. And that's not a negative slap on anyone else. It's just your personalities jive, right? You get it. You think the same way. You know, sometimes that's scary. But it's a best friend. Then I'll go one more step to the right, all right? And you'd have a spouse. And for those that, you know, are married, your spouse should be the best friend, earthly speaking, that you have. You know, I remember when Stacy and I were, she's in a nursery tonight, but when we were going to get married, we were trying to pick out invitations. And back then, you had to go to a store and pick out invitations. And we're there, and my wife said, I love this one. And it said, I'm marrying my best friend. And I looked at her, and I was just like, I'm not marrying Matt. And I totally refused to get that invitation because I was just like, what in the world? She was just like, oh, you know. I didn't get it yet. Right? I was like, whoa. But looking now, like, I was an idiot. But you know, looking back, you know, your spouse, and she is, praise the Lord, that should be your best friend. And then, all the way to the right, there's God, who is the greatest. Everyone you know, to keep God out, right? But everyone you know falls somewhere in those relationships. So what determines a friend? What determines that? What decides that according to the Bible? You have to understand this, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, all right? The reason why the devil wants to convince people that they don't have no friends is because it makes them feel lonely. And it makes them feel alone. And I've been preaching this for many years, and I just one day it like dawned on me, loneliness is a choice. Now, you may want to argue with me, but if you're lonely and you feel all alone, it's because you've chosen to feel that way. Because God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because God has put two things in your life. The first time aloneness is mentioned is in the book of Genesis. God introduces all the things he created. He created the light, he created the darkness, the moon, the sun, the moon, the stars. He creates the land, he creates the water, he creates the birds, he creates the wells. And everything when he got done, the Lord looked upon it and said, It is good. And then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, he plants that tree of the knowledge of good and evil because every man has a choice to have a relationship with God or not. Because that is the true sign of a relationship and the free will, soul liberty of man. And so God planted this tree in the Garden of Eden. And as soon as it is planted, the very next verse, he says, it is not good that man should be alone. Because as we live in a world that has temptation and sin, God wants to make sure that we have people around us, because we need people around us to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And God has given everybody these two things to be able to conquer that, right? You have a, number one, a physical family. And I don't care who you say, I have no family. False. You didn't just come from a stork. Amen? You have a family. You have a mother, father. You have maybe possibly brothers, sisters. You have, and you say, well, you don't understand. That is totally absent from my life. Well, that would be a very, 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 very small percentage. But even if that were the case, secondly, God wants you to have a spiritual family. Well, we're all brothers and sisters. God has that for everybody. And ultimately, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But God wants us to have that in our life because we need that in our life. So you say, well, I don't have a mother and father. Okay, but God's giving you what you need. I don't have a husband or a wife. Okay, but God's still giving you a physical family and a church spiritual family. So you never have to be alone. Well, I am alone. Because you're choosing to. Loneliness is a choice. That either makes people feel very comforted or they always get mad at me for saying it. But God's giving you those two things. I'm not saying we don't have hurt. I'm not saying we don't have trials. I'm not saying that there are times when our flesh says, I wish I had, and I get that. But God has given to all of us two families. Some things will change as time goes, but God has given that. You are not alone. Right? The question is, what are you doing with the people around you that God's giving you? So this topic here, again, the great lie about friends is you don't have to have best friends and a circle of friends all the time around you. The legitimacy of friends, he that hath friends, it's a fine thing, and God has made sure there's people in our life and your choice what to do with them and where you place them in your life. Number three is a lesson about friends. Still sticking with our text, a man that hath friends must what? Show himself friendly. I wrote down three words next to this. There's a command. If you're going to have friends, he says must. See that word must? That kind of means you must, all right? There's a command here. If you sit there and say, but I have no friends. All right, number one, you've not been listening to the first part of the message. Number two, here it is. You want friends, biblical friends. Then there's a must, a command. You must do this. There's a contingency. You must show himself. There's something that you have to do. I want more friends. Okay, then do this. But don't blame anybody else because God didn't say, you know, he that hath friends must other people treat them right. Right? That's not what it says. You have a responsibility. You have to do this. Amen? Must show himself, here's the conduct, what is it? Friendly. Now, if you're like me, you've always studied this verse, right? And say, well, if I need friends, you've probably looked at your kids at times, or you've told other people, if you want friends, you must show yourself what? Which means you got to be kind, you got to be nice, you got to be talkative, you got to get around, you got to share things, you know, you got to, you know, just, you can't sit in your pew all the time with your hands folded looking straight down. You got to be friendly, and that makes sense, right? That's not what it teaches. Craziness. I didn't know if we were going to have slides tonight because I would have loved to have put this definition up there. But if you look up that word friendly right there, it's interesting. All right? Some of you, your priority to, if you're doing it, I'm going to give you permission to stand up and read the definition. If you have a blue letter Bible, something like that, you must show yourself friendly. All right? If you click on the word and find the definition of it, anybody do it? Brother Jeff, what?
Verse 12, I pray you to be Jesus for the grace.
Anybody else? Yeah, that's it. Anybody else? Clicked on the word? I know we're not supposed to do that in church, but I'm sneaking it in one time, the pastor, right? Okay. May you know what else it means? If you look it up, it means to harm. Bad, evil, injure, mischievous, broken, shattered. Now you're all staring at me like, what? What does that mean, right? What's it teaching? Ready? He that hath friends, you're going to have to make yourself vulnerable to other people. You gotta quit putting on a show and acting like something you're not, like you don't have any weaknesses and don't have any problems and you never mess things up and you never fall on your face. You have to be real and allow people to see not only the good, but the bad. To not just see you when you got it all put together, but also when you're broken. Not just to see you when you're doing all the good things, but to be there for you when you've let things go. You see that? That's what the word means. First time I saw that, I was like, what? What? But that's the instruction from the Word of God. If you're going to have friends, you're going to have to tear your walls down and let people know the real you. You say, preacher, I have no friends. Well, probably because you are putting on some shows with people and you never let them see the trials you go through and the hurts you go through and the fears that you go through. You got to let them sometimes see the times you've messed up. Most of the time I've heard it, because I know I've been raised in church, is because I hear people referring to it. Well, I'm going to try to find another church because I have no friends. And a lot of the fault lies upon the fact that we want to put on some facade and we're hiding all of our weaknesses and we don't want people to see that. So we will struggle. Now, I'm not saying we need to go around to everybody all our faults. That's not what the Bible's teaching there. But stop and think, the people that you would consider your closest friends are the people that you've cried on their shoulder. They're the people that know when you've been hurting and you've shared it with them. They're the people, when you got the bad doctor's report, you called them first because you were scared. And that's who you would say, those were my friends, and rightfully so, because you've opened yourself up to being real to them. Your best friends are the people that you call when you say, I'm struggling spiritually, would you pray with me? That's your best friends. Your best friends are the people that you open yourself up to, that you're able to share a part with. There are some people, some believers, that feel so close to God, and they sing songs like, what a friend we have in Jesus. And there are some people who see God as very distant. And when I hear others, people talk about what a friend God is, they kind of scratch their head and say, how is that possible? The difference is there are some who have poured their heart out to God and have opened themselves up to God and have said, search me, O God, know me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Tell it to Jesus. You pour out your anger. You pour out your hurts. You pour out all these things. And God becomes so much closer to you because you're showing yourself friendly. Those who feel like God is so distant because they've built these walls and they don't feel like they can tell God anything, God wants you to share that. I know some people that when I said your spouse is your best friend, some people are just like, absolutely, because we've learned to share our heart and to pray together and to hurt together and to cry together. And some who can't even see their spouse as their friend because they build up these walls and they never share anything. I'm trying to help your marriage tonight too. You see, he who hath friends must show himself friendly. A friend loveth at all times. God knows us. Amen? That's what allowed Jesus to look at Judas when he walked into the garden to betray him. And the Lord called him friend. Because nothing was hidden from our Lord. People that are false friends, and probably most of our lives there's false friends, that's what the majority of the Bible talks about. People that, when it talks about friends, are people that say they're friends, but then you read how David said, "My friends stand aloof at my sore." When the going got rough, they disappeared. Wealth maketh many friends, Proverbs says. People who will say, "Oh yeah, I'm your best buddy because you're buying everything." I mean, somebody pull in tonight in a Lamborghini, he's going to have a lot of new friends. Because wealth maketh many friends. Remember the prodigal son when he went away and he had all the money? There's all kinds of people to riot and party with, right? But when the money ran out, he found himself sitting with a bunch of pigs. Because those people had nothing to do with him. They weren't his real friends. Because a real friend will know the real you. So you have the great lie about friends, and you have the legitimacy of friends, and you have a lesson about friends, which is really interesting. But then you see the luxury of friends. Having good friends is a blessing. Having friends in your life is a wonderful thing. True biblical friends. What will true biblical friends do? Let's look at Proverbs real quick. Again, in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 17. It says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A real friend is someone who will comfort you when you're hurting. You'll be able to share where you're hurting, where your adversity is here, or whatever the issue is, and they will be there for you. They will try to be there. They'll comfort you. They'll love you when you're on top of the mountain or when you're in the bottom of the valley. They're going to love you. No matter what adversity or victory you're going through, they're going to be there, and they're going to be there for you. That is a real biblical friend. They will comfort you. In Proverbs chapter number 27 and in verse number 6, Proverbs 27 and verse number 6, a real friend is someone who will bring correction into your life. Proverbs 27 and verse number 6, "Faithful are the wounds of what? A friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." A real biblical friend is someone who, when you're wrong, they'll tell you you're wrong. Amen? Now, to be done in the spirit of truth, God, if we're wrong, will God not correct us through His Word? Yes. Husbands and wife, if you're totally off base and you're thinking wrong, I'm thankful for the times that my wife, with the right attitude, will look at me and say, "Are you sure that's right?" When I have to look at her and say, "I think you need to rethink that." You say, "Well, that will hurt if I correct them." Well, sometimes, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Someone who will love you enough to tell you, "That's not right." I believe I'm surrounded by many friends in this auditorium. And if I ever, and I will not, praise God, by the grace of God, shall never. But if I ever try to get up and say, "You know, there's another version of the Bible we ought to consider," I hope my faithful friends will say, "You're wrong." Because we have the perfect Word of God. Amen? But being a friend is not patting everybody on the back and never telling them they're wrong. So teenagers, if your friends are involved in things that are wicked and it's going to destroy their life and they're hurting themselves and they're not growing spiritually, you're not being their friend by ignoring it and not saying anything about it. You need to tell them they're wrong. And adults, if you have friends in your life that are heading down the wrong direction, "Well, I just don't want to hurt them. I don't want to have any conflict. I'm just going to be diplomatic and never try to ruffle their feathers." You're not their friend. Because a friend will help correct in love. Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse number 9. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." A biblical friend is someone who will comfort. A biblical friend is someone who will correct. And a biblical friend is someone who will give counsel. There'll be a counselor in their life. They not only will tell them what's wrong if they have to, but they'll show them what's right. They'll take the time to talk about the right path to take. They'll take the time to teach them what the Word of God says about something. They'll give biblical counsel. in Proverbs chapter number 27 and in verse number 17. 27 and verse number 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A biblical friend will challenge you to be sharper, stronger. If the people in your life that you call your friends are not in any way helping you to grow in the Lord, you need to reconsider your friends. Because they may be acquaintance, they may be resources, not saying they're evil, but your friends, biblically speaking, should be people that will comfort you, correct you, counsel, and challenge you. If they're always just patting you on the back saying, oh, it's so bad, yeah, I'm not, you just go ahead and do whatever feels good, whatever you think is right, and they know what you're doing is wrong, that's not a friend. Biblically speaking, amen? So you see the luxury of friends, that is a blessing. And then you see the love of a friend. Back in our text in Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And here's the love of a friend. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. As we close this message real quick, I want you to see the second part of this verse is talking about, I wrote down these three words. Number one, singleness. There is a friend. Now, if you listen to me, you know I should have learned more grammar, but my mom did teach me some things. When there's a whatever, that means there's one. So there's one friend that will be the greatest friend you've ever had in your life. There is one. You may have a lot of friends on this earth, and they may fill up that little line I had you draw and fit in different places, but there's only one spot at the end of that for the greatest friend that you'll ever have. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wrote down singleness, and then I wrote our Savior. There is a friend. That word's different too. Not as probably shock and awe as the other friendly word, but that word means a divine love. A God-like love. There's only one who can love you like God does. There's only one who can show you a love that is beyond any other love and friendship you'll ever experience on this earth. There's only one source for that love, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the third word I wrote down is I just wrote down the word sticketh, because the Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That word means to cling to adhere to. In other words, Jesus is the greatest friend I know. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you tonight, run to Him tonight. This world will leave you lonely and lost. But God will give you the greatest friendship and joy in your life that you can't even dream of. And for everyone that's saved, you ought to say amen to that. Amen? Amen. God is so amazing. You say, well, I'm saved, but I just don't feel that way about God. Then tonight, you need to open up to Him. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I just don't have any friends, and I try to talk to everybody. I try to be friendly. Well, that's not really what that word means, right? It means to be real, to be vulnerable, to find people who will love you, who you are, and try to help you to what you need to be. Jesus is that friend. He is the ultimate friend. So join with David tonight and say, God, search me and know me. I want to have this relationship with you. In the Bible, in the book of James chapter 2 and verse number 23, there's one person that's called the friend of God. And that's Abraham. And well, turn there real quick. I'll show this real quick. James chapter number 2. We're almost done. James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2 and verse number 23. James 2 and verse number 23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's a pretty great statement, isn't it? How did Abraham get to be called a friend of God? You got to jump back up there to verse number 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? In other words, if you're truly saved, if you have faith, it will show itself and manifest itself in the life that you choose. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. How do you think Abraham felt when he offered Isaac on the altar? When he had Isaac lay upon that altar and he tied and he bound his hands and he took that knife and he raised it to the sky and he was willing to do. You think he poured his heart out to God? You think God knew his heart, his hurt? Because he listened to God and opened himself to God and God, and he did whatever God said and followed the Lord, he is able to be called a friend of God. Last passage and we'll pray. John, turn back to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. I remind you, when we get to heaven, we'll have no best friends. We'll all love each other. We'll all adore each other. John 15 and verse number 12, Jesus said this, John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So we're supposed to love each other like God loves us. Amen? Let's keep reading. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for what? Ye are my what? If you do whatsoever I command you. God's not saying you have to do everything I tell you in order. He's saying this, if we love each other, you'll want to live for my glory because God lives for us. Henceforth, verse 15, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. A servant is not a friend because they have no idea the Lord has not opened himself up to his servant. You know why a servant does what he does? Because the master tells him to. Why do I have to dig this ditch? I don't need to tell you that. You're a servant. Right? It says, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have what? Made known unto you. God has shared with us. We got it right here. Amen. He refers to us as his friend. Is God your friend? If you're struggling with that, you need to share with him your hurt, your fear, your pain. There's a reason people feel distant from God, because they haven't made him their friend by showing themselves friendly, opening their heart, sharing their fears. When I'm bad, I'll confess it. When I fall on my face, I'll ask God for mercy. When I'm doing right, may he be pleased. When I'm shattered, may he know it and put the pieces back together. What a friend we have in Jesus. I don't have friends. You can. If you show yourself friendly.